You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up. Now
this is the Bobby Bones Show. Let's go.
What's happening? Welcome to the show. I'm feeling much better today. Not all the way there, but I'm like 99.9. So it's pretty good. I got to tell you, when you've been sick for a long time and you start to feel pretty good, you feel like a superhero. You're like, I can do anything in the world. I'm the greatest. So feeling good. Got my voice mostly back and just glad to be here. So let me say it. Morning, studio.
Morning.
I am slightly offended because I am at my house and nobody's here in the studio with me. Everybody's still hiding. So, all right. Hey, that's what friends are for.
They told us to stay here.
Whatever. I don't know. All I know is Amy lives about 3 minutes from me. It's much easier for her to come over here, but that's okay.
Right. Well, I'm currently at 100% and I want to stay that way. So.
I hear you. All right. Well, listen, glad everybody's here. We got a lot to do today. We'll talk to Brett Eldridge coming up in just a little bit. I did want to start with this, though, and it's one of these, you know, we are allowed certain things because we do a show, a big show. I'll say it, the biggest that's ever happened in this format. And so with that, like Spider-Man, you know, with power comes responsibility. And sometimes we aren't as responsible as we should be with that power. And mostly I'm talking about Scuba Steve and Eddie, because they went to Memphis. They went to go watch the Elvis movie. And whenever you're a producer or you're like Eddie, you get the phone number of artists that will come play on the show because you got to have these professional contacts. That doesn't mean if you see someone covering their song in a bar at midnight, you should send them a video of somebody playing their song. Wouldn't you agree, Amy?
I'm nervous to hear what happened. Yes, I agree.
Okay. So,
what happened?
Scuba Steve, why don't you tell me what happened? Somebody's playing a Gavin DeGraw song somewhere?
Yeah, so Eddie and I are in Memphis for that Elvis junket, and we're at a bar, and this guy, we were upstairs at a top bar, had a good time, come down. This guy is just killing it. He's got 9 different pedals. He's playing solos. He's really, really good at playing the guitar, and he starts singing a Gavin DeGraw song, and I'm like, whoa. Eddie and I start singing along, and I was like, Eddie, should we send this to Gavin? Eddie's like, yeah, dude, totally send it to Gavin. I was like, but it's like 10:30. It's kind of late. He's like, nah, Gavin party's late. Don't worry about it. He'll be up. Just send it to him. So under the peer pressure of Eddie, I sent a video.
No, we're not blaming it on Eddie. Eddie, you're at fault too. But Scuba Steve is the responsible list of the responsible.
Yes.
And was he playing, I don't want to be
anything? That's exactly
what
he's playing, yeah.
Yeah. So.
And in the hindsight, I probably shouldn't have done it. But I just, and I've never done it before. And I just felt like that was the time to do it. And he responded and said, yes!
I think he felt like he had no other option.
I know.
He's a nice guy. What is he going to reply? Don't text me.
Whose idea was it to do that?
I don't remember because I didn't. No, I don't remember because we both were a little tipsy, so I don't know.
Okay, see.
Alcohol and celebrity phone numbers. Never
oh, no.
Oh, no.
Now I'm going to have to text him and say I'm very sorry that we use a number that was given to us for professional reasons to harass you, even in the nicest way, on a Friday night. I'm sure people cover that song all the time. Can you imagine if somebody texted him, somebody every covering time. That song every time they saw it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, anybody else guilty of texting artists that have come in before? Anybody?
Well, Scuba's the only one that's a producer that has all their
Scuba
numbers.
Scuba has the numbers.
I mean, that's a pretty crazy right? line to cross, but it's a baller mood to be like, start that friendship.
Oh, gosh.
And so I didn't say anything bad. It was just the cover. It wasn't like I was like, hey, man, what are you doing? Want to hang out? It was just like, here's this. Have a great day.
Here's this. Have a great day at 10:30 at night as you've been drinking. That was basically a professional booty call, okay? You're at a bar. You had a few drinks. You had somebody you kind of have like a professional crush on. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so inappropriate or totally appropriate, Amy?
Inappropriate.
Lunchbox?
Inappropriate, but baller. I mean, you're starting a relationship. It's good.
Eddie?
Hey, dude, I was there.
Nope,
I think it was
you're
awesome.
Eliminated. Nope, I knew it. It's not awesome. Okay, it's funny. I'm going to be like, hey, sorry if my guys text you while they were drunk on Friday night. They're going to be going down Broadway just looking for people to sing covers to go through Scuba's phone to text. Oh, no. Okay, so just wanted to start with that. Hey, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Right, guys?
Oh, great.
Oh, that's worse.
That's worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
So, the Elvis movie, The Weeknd, Eddie, how was that?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing, dude. So, we went to Graceland, and we just spent some time there, and it was all Elvis. Elvis, Elvis, Elvis. And then we went to the actual premiere, which is, you know, they do it in L.A., but since it's Elvis the movie, they're like, let's do it in Memphis. Man, it was amazing. Scuba and I got the VIP treatment. We met Austin Butler, the guy that plays Elvis. We saw Lisa Marie, who's Elvis's daughter, and all of her daughters. Who, dude, that's crazy. They all look like Elvis.
Wait, the real Lisa Marie or the woman playing her?
No, the real Lisa Marie.
And got it. She brought who was married to Michael Jackson.
For like a minute, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So she brought all of her daughters, who are Elvis's granddaughters, and it's crazy. They all walked in a group. I'm like, oh my gosh, they all look like Elvis. They all got the droopy eyes and a little lip like this. It's like
thank you very much.
It was unbelievable. And then finally, at the end of the night, we met Priscilla, who was Elvis's ex-wife. So, dude, unbelievable experience. The movie was amazing. I mean, it was a weekend of my life.
That movie comes out next Friday, June 24th. Elvis, directed by Baz Luhrmann. I saw Austin Butler, because Austin Butler's the main actor. I saw him in your Instagram story. And he looked nice and looked like a really good-looking dude, but I felt like you were touching him and he didn't want to be touched.
Well, it's funny. He came to us, and Scuba can talk about this, and he started talking to us. So we're like, hey, buddy, like, good job in the movie and all this. So welcome to Memphis, all this stuff. And then his handler's like, he's got to go. And we're like, hey, he came to us. We didn't come to him. So Scuba and I were like, it's okay. You can take him.
Scuba?
It was a good interaction until Eddie pulled
that
out
story
a cell.
Doesn't check it. Yes, that story doesn't check out to me. Go ahead.
Like, we were just chopping it up. It was a natural conversation because everyone else was very like social media, taking videos and phones with their phone. And we were just having a normal conversation of just about life. And then Eddie pulls out his phone. And that's when it started getting into like the
got to move on.
I was like, oh, you ruined it, Eddie.
This is what happens. This is what happens if I don't go.
How else am I going to prove that I was there? I had to get my phone out, guys.
You don't. You can just tell the nice story.
You documented the whole weekend. Like, you didn't need proof. If you said you talked to him, we'd believe you.
Oh, well, true. Yeah. Good story. Good point.
Anyway, Elvis is out with Tom Hanks as Colonel Tom Parker in theaters next Friday, June 24th. And you like the movie, Eddie?
Oh, man, it's really, really, really good. If you're an Elvis fan, you're going to love it. If you're not, you're going to learn a lot about Elvis. Like, it's not just his life. There was a deeper side of Elvis that I didn't know. I thought it was just goofy, like, thank you very much. But he was a very deep guy, and he was misunderstood, and it goes into all that, which is really cool to me.
All right, can't wait to see it. It's time to open up our mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. My question is for the guys on the show, dads and future dads. So, Eddie, you and Bobby. My daughter was so excited about a dress that she got for an event. Her eyes lit up when she tried it on. My husband never saw the dress until we got to the event, and he lost his mind over it. He was so angry at me for letting her leave the house in that dress. I personally didn't think it was bad. It was a little tighter than anything she's ever worn, but had big puffy sleeves and wasn't too short. Why are men so overprotective when it comes to clothing? Our daughter is 16 years old, and I think it's really about him being in denial that she's not his little girl anymore. He was so upset with me for letting her wear it, but I loved seeing her so confident. I don't have any brothers or other men in my life to ask, so I thought I'd reach out to my favorite show. Thanks. Signed, a wife, just trying to understand her husband. I'm going to boil this down to you, not even as a dad, but as a dude.
Mm-hmm.
This dad understands what other 16-year-old boys are thinking, wishing, planning, and may actually do.
Dreaming of.
Yeah. And so because of that, because we know what we were like at 16, at 22, at 31.
At
we
40.
Know what other 50. Guys, boys are like. So it really doesn't have to do with the daughter as much. He obviously loves her. He's protective, again, with that, a sign that he loves her. He didn't see the dress beforehand, so he was shocked the night of. I think had he seen it a couple days before, he probably would have calmed down to it. He just knows what other boys are, what their goal is.
Yeah.
And so that is making him react like this. And it's completely understandable. So have some grace with him. But know that he is just looking out for her through the eyes of him as a 16-year-old.
Yeah, so don't beat yourself up over letting her wear the dress. And, if he's angry at you, it's not really about you.
Put the phone up to his ear. Pops, it's me, Bobby, here. You're fine. It's okay.
It's tough though, dude.
But it's okay. You're gonna have to. She's 16. If she was 12, it'd be a different story.
Yeah.
She's 16. She could drive. If she wanted to drive off and change the dress, and you'd never know.
Fine. She probably does.
Probably did right now.
No.
Probably, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we're all good here. This is nothing but an email full of love. That's been a slight misunderstanding. So the dress is cool. The 16-year-old, if she's a good kid, she's cool. The dad, he knows what 16-year-old boys are like, and that ain't cool. So he's trying to protect her.
Yep.
So there you go. That's your email. Hey, Morgan, if they want to send us a note into the mailbag, what do they do?
Mailbag@bobbybones.com.
All right, that's it. Thank you, guys.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Bobby Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30-second skinny.
Luke Combs released a new song called The Kind of Love We Make.
Let's get some candles burning. Turning all the lights down low, taking nice and slow. The way your body's moving, keep doing what you're doing.
Brett Eldredge's new album, Songs About You, is out today. Here is one of the songs from the project.
I'm just trying to get through these songs about you. Sometimes it made me dance, sometimes it made me cry.
Keith Urban released a live version of his song, You'll Think of Me.
Take your records, take your freedom. Take our memories, I don't need them. Take your space and your twisted reasons. You're gonna think of me.
I'm Morgan. That's your skinny.
Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
There's a sixth grade boy. His name's Abraham Walker, and he just celebrated his birthday for the first time. Yeah, he's in sixth grade, but just had his first birthday cake ever. And this all happened because he was adopted from Sierra Leone and moved to Charlotte, North Carolina recently to live with his new forever family. And they threw him a birthday party, and literally, awesome. He got his first cake ever.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's got to be like just a whole different world. Like, he's has to be like, we have like gifts and cake when it's the day I was born. That's crazy. This kid's got a whole new life.
Yeah.
I saw another video too where a kid, it was his birthday and he had a little crown on, and their parents accidentally drove through a place where they were doing a little parade in a neighborhood, and he thought everybody on the side of they were there for his birthday, so his parents just let him believe it.
Oh,
it's the funniest video I've ever seen.
That's cool.
Kid's like, this is all for me? And the parents are like, they're like, yes, it is for you. You've been such a good. And he's like, wow. And they drove and he waved at everybody and just kept going. They went to like get lunch. It was awesome. The kid was totally fooled. One time my mom lied to me. We were at the grocery store and there was some sort of book about a bunch of Muppets. It was a Muppets book breaking into the house of a kid for his birthday and like throwing him a huge party. And I was like, I wish that happened to me. And she was like, it did happen to you, but you were asleep. And I was like, the Muppets threw a party for me? She was like, yeah. but you slept the whole time. I was like, that's so cool. She's like, yeah, maybe they'll do it next year while you're sleeping. And I was like, that's awesome.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't prove they didn't.
Well, once you realized you were lied to, was you okay?
I think I've had been in phases.
Okay.
I think now I'm like, that's awesome. I remember loving it, thinking, wow, that's so cool. The Muppets were in my house because I don't really get birthdays. We didn't have much money. So, yeah, I'm cool with it. I'm good. I'm good for a good white lie. Yeah. How about you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
I can do
it. Yeah,
do
I love a good white lie. Yeah. All right, good story, Amy. Thank you. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fun Fact Friday.
Yay! This is it, my favorite segment of the week, Amy's five fun facts. Let's count them down.
Number five.
So compared to our body size, humans have the biggest butts in the animal kingdom.
That's interesting, because we do have pretty thick butts in relationship with our other body parts. When I think of other animals' butts, like my dog's, it's just kind of normal and kind of part of his body, like all even.
Yeah.
Huh.
What other animal has a big butt?
I thought hippos would have big butts.
Read the fact again, Amy.
Compared to our body size.
That's what it is, Eddie. Oh, compared. Hippos have big it. Everything else, too.
They're just bigger. Got it.
Yeah. How about that? I like big butts because we're the only people that have them. Yeah, we're the only ones that have them. Big butts. All right. All right, next. Let's go.
Number four.
So when Outback Steakhouse was started in Tampa in 1988, none of its four founders had ever even been to Australia.
That's interesting. I wonder if Outback, though, was still like the Australian Outback, or did that come later? Has it always been an Australian theme Outback? Because we used to just go Outback and take a leak, you know?
Oh. Now,
It probably was, but okay.
Number three.
So, Bobby, I know you're a big Buddy Holly fan, and his last name was actually spelled H-O-L-L-E-Y, but his first record label left out the E on his contract, and the misspelled version of his name just stuck.
That is interesting. A lot of times, and I can think of one time in particular where they've messed up my name. I remember the Radio Hall of Fame is a crowning night of my career. We're sitting at these tables, and I'm like, wow, I'm being inducted into, and not just being inducted, I was the youngest person ever inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame. And, you know, I don't really get on myself a lot in a good way, but I was like, this is it. You did it, kid. So I was telling myself. And they're like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight at the National Radio Hall of Fame, we'll be inducting in Bobby Jones. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Are you kidding me? So I felt that, Buddy Holly. I do. That's why I look like I look with my glasses, Buddy Holly and Weezer. But it's fun to know that other people get their name misspelled as well. Which, by the way, Bones isn't my real last name.
Number two.
America drinks the most Mountain Dew of any country in the world, but randomly, Pakistan is number two. Huh.
I bet you, if you took like Arkansas, my state, and compared it to other countries, we'd probably win that too. Just straight up, like states from the South would probably beat other countries as well, except for maybe Pakistan. Because you know Tennessee's rocking it because it's created in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It's like Knoxville. But Mountain Dew, I would go and work out when I was 19 or 20 and then drink a 3-liter Mountain Dew and be like, I feel great.
That's crazy.
Oh,
yeah.
My go-to concoction to feel good back in my college days was I would grab a diet Mountain Dew and I would pop it with a Midol.
What?
And that combination, it wouldn't even have to be that time of the month for me, but y'all try that. A Mountain Dew with a Midol and it's next level. You'll be the happiest person ever.
How do you think I got... Well, I've been taking them all last week. Now I'm doing Midol. Call it the double M. Yeah. All right, give me one more.
Number one.
The song Closing Time. Here's a clip.
I know who I want to take me home.
It's by Semisonic, and it's not about a bar closing. It's a metaphor for childbirth. So remember that the next time you're at the bar and they start playing it at the end of the night.
No way.
Are you sure? I watched this guy's TikTok the other day.
Closing time.
Oh, I see it.
Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
There's no way that's about birth. There's no way.
I mean, let him into the world?
Eddie, that's all. I could probably get this guy on because I follow him on TikTok. Who wrote the song? Would you guys like to hear a TikTok by him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here we go.
24 years since the release of Closing Time. When our lawyer got a rough mix of the song, he called me up and he said, "Congratulations, Dan, you've finally written a song dumb enough to be a hit." And I said, "Closing Time isn't dumb. It's a great song." I still think I'm right. What do you think?
I know who I just happen to be following that guy on TikTok. His name's Dan Wilson. I could probably get him on. He'd probably be like, "You want to interview me? That's so cool."
Yeah, so apparently Dan said it's about being bounced from the womb, not a bar.
Interesting.
I bet you they just say random stuff. ask me what I wrote my dog book about.
What did you write Stanley the dog first day of school about?
The Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You can't argue it.
You can't. What are you going to say? It's art. A metaphor. Yeah, it's art. So... there you go.
Speaking of art, I have a bonus fun fact. Hey, okay, no one's ever been to the Louvre, right?
The what?
No.
None of us have.
That's where the Mona Lisa is.
Oh,
yeah. It's like, hey, Eddie's like, none of us have ever been, Amy's like, none of us have ever been to actually like the top of the Eiffel Tower, right? And had a gourmet meal. No, we haven't.
Well, no.
Because it's art. And I just saw a headline that said the average person spends only 15 seconds looking at the Mona Lisa when they go look at it. They spend 15 seconds and then, okay, I'm done, moving on.
I think because it's so small and they're like, wow. Right? That's what I hear. It's so small. that you look at it and you go, wow, that's pretty underwhelming. All right, Amy, that one wasn't that fun, but I'm glad you brought it to us.
A little bonus.
Fun Fact Friday.
This is Addison, Amelia, and Ashley from Louisiana.
Hey, Bobby, we just read your book for the first time. What did you think of it?
I loved the words.
And what did you think?
I love the pictures that you drew.
Who is your favorite character?
I like Pearl.
And who is your favorite character?
I like Stanley in the book.
All right. Well, Bobby, we love you.
Well, thank you very much. It's a very kind review. Sadly, I didn't draw it because I can't draw. But I'm sure Stephanie will love the compliment. I did look at a lot of drawings and then pick Stephanie, if that matters. But it shouldn't matter because Stephanie's awesome and I cannot draw. I thought about trying to draw like a little Stanley like she did so I could like sign things. But I can't. I can't even draw like a version of what she did. But yes, I wrote it in the story and then we kind of worked together on. But I appreciate that review. And the book is out. This is the first week. If you would like to buy it, you can get it on Amazon. We're trying to set a big first week number, but I've been sick the whole week and had to miss all of my promotions. So I don't know if we're going to be able to hit it, which is a little disappointing, but we will see. It's only like 18 bucks if you guys want to get it off Amazon. Heck, it's 15 right now, being told. So, okay. This is Donna from Illinois.
I am super, super disappointed. I received my book that I pre-ordered in the mail yesterday, and it was not signed. Thought Bobby was going to sign all the pre-ordered books and receive mine, and it was not signed. How disappointing. Well, have a good day.
Amy, I feel like I've filled out this question 10,000 times.
Yeah.
And I try not to get irritated because I know people can't hear me every time I say it. So I'm going to try one more time.
Okay. I mean, I could do it for you if you're tired of
having No, I'm not tired of it. And okay. I'm sure they just have missed it. Okay, so the book company said to me, we're going to do a pre-sale. You have to contractually. I said, I don't want to do a pre-sale. I don't want to ask anybody to buy anything pre-sale because I can just buy it the day of. They said, no, you have to contractually. I'm like, well, crap. I said, okay, if you buy the book, I will sign the book. Now, what happens when you sign a book before it even gets to you is I don't have every book. I don't sign every book. They don't send me 13,000 books. They send me a single page, and then I sign the page, and then I send it back to the book publishing company, and then they insert it in the book, right? And so that's a signed book from the publishing company. But I told the publishing company I didn't want to do that. What I wanted to do was do something better than just sign a page. So I wanted to sign a piece of art that had Stanley and myself on it from the book. And so I said, let me get these all fixed up. People can put them in the book instead of just a random page. And they said, lovely. Well, we didn't expect to have 13,000 people pre-order the book. So I've been signing 14,000 of these art cards that go inside the book one by one every single day. Now, it comes separately. So it's either A, been mailed to you already, or B, it will be there very soon because I have like 500 more at home and then I'm done. So if you pre-order the book, you will get the signed piece of art that goes inside the book, but you didn't get it with the book because they didn't come together and they were never going to come together. And last time we did this with the book company screwed them all up. So again, we're mailing 13,000 of these out from here, my house. And that's a lot, but I feel like you guys deserve it. And I'm getting so many people reviewing the book badly because they didn't get, and I'm starting to get a little irritated again, only because my hand hurts. I'll be honest with you. I'm over here slaving away. But yes, that's the situation. You'll get it, I promise. Yeah, it'll be good. And if not, I'll send you I'll send you Stanley. I'll mail him to you in a box. I don't know. But need to be disappointed. You will get it, as I said. It'll be better than you were going to have, a random regular page. I appreciate you pre-ordering it. It didn't cost you any extra, which is great. I don't feel like people aren't getting what they paid for. So it will be there. All right. I feel like that's pretty good. Do you feel like I explained it okay, Amy?
Yes. I mean, there's still probably going to be some people that miss it.
People are mad. And then I feel like I've just tried to do a whole like extra for people.
Yeah.
And they're getting mad at me for doing extra. And so it's like, why do I even try to do extra or extra? People are just going to get upset. So,
well,
go ahead.
I think it's just a good reminder, too, that I feel like we say something and we assume that a lot of people hear it or they follow on socials or they figure it out or they catch different parts of the show. And it's just a reminder that sometimes things have to be reset revisited.
You're
and
right.
That not everyone's going to catch it. And then, but also, I would just say it's definitely not worth leaving a 1-star review over.
Oh,
like that's so sad.
Scuba said that they get a lot of these voicemails. And so I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
But I haven't done anything wrong. It doesn't matter. Hey, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Hey, I got a smile on my face. I'm feeling better today. I'm not that sick. Actually, I'm not sick at all. I'm 100%. Look at me. All right.
The Bobby Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So, Bobby, what age do you think people feel their sexiest?
Seven.
What?
I don't even think that sexy is a thing at seven, but
I don't know. I was all like, look at me. It's showing my muscles, no shirt. That's the last time I ever felt fully free. So that's it for me. Why?
Okay, well, you're 42, so I would say in about 10, 11 years, you will feel your sexiest because a survey was done and they took the average from that. And most people that are way older, they were polled way later in life. And they said, yeah, around 53, that's when I felt my best.
So they asked a lot of 80 and 90 year olds, 70, 80, 90 year olds.
Yeah, seniors. Like, and I guess according to the AARP, that's what, 65?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. They probably couldn't remember being seven because I was young and free at seven, just running the streets, shirtless. Doing the little nipple dances, flexing. Oh, I swim in my underwear because we didn't have swimming shorts, so I just got in my whitey tidies and swam in the creek. Oh, man, those were the days. Felt sexy as a new day. All right. Oh,
well, boy. I guess that's what happens when, as we age, we just stop worrying about what other people think of us. So that's what we have to look forward to.
Yeah, I didn't worry when I was seven either, though. It was a beautiful time. All right.
You're sticking to that seven,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, man, I loved it. It was a good time. All right, what else you got?
Well, Squid Game is the most popular show on Netflix, but that's not in English. So we have a new top show on Netflix for English-speaking shows, and it is Stranger Things, season four, the first part.
I can't wait for Squid Games. I get it. I don't watch Stranger Things anymore. I got too old. I can't watch kids. I don't know. Couldn't do it. I watched season one, and I was like, that was a good show, but I'm checking out. However, Squid Games, now that you brought it up, is awesome. And that reality show is coming out where you can win like $5 million playing Squid Games. That's going to be awesome. You don't think everybody's going to be watching that one?
Oh, so can we try to enter you or something?
I don't know that I want to do it, but I'll watch it. And I don't think anyone's going to die in it. But they're talking about how they're going to have like hundreds of people playing this show. I can't wait to watch that. But yes, I don't watch Stranger Things. I'm sure it's still great. Does your daughter watch it?
Yeah, she's already finished the whole whatever just came out. Yeah. She's done. Yep. And I'm trying to get her to remind her that some people that come over to the house and when she's talking about it, to not spoil it for other people.
Oh, that's been passed down somehow genetically from you to her. And she's adopted. I don't understand. Okay. That's nature versus nurture. That must be all nurture, baby.
No, I'm working on it, though. Like, I see her do it. And I try to stop her. I'm like, we don't do that
all right, what
anymore.
Else?
So Luke Bryan posted a video earlier this week of a girl who fell asleep sitting on a bench downstairs at his bar. And he did a surprise appearance there, and he straight up woke her up from a little nap that she was taking. And it took her a second to realize it was Luke Bryan, but when she did, this was her reaction.
No, you slept through it.
So he ran away and went upstairs to hang out with other people. So she didn't even really get to hang out with him, even though he woke her up. So it got me thinking, what celebrity, Bobby, would you be most excited to get woken up from a nap by?
That's a weird one.
It's happened with Eddie a few times.
Not a celebrity.
He's like, hey, Snuggle Bunny, wake up. We've arrived at our destination.
Hey, and you screamed just like that, too.
Yes. You know, I'm cool not being awakened by any celebrity. I'm good. It feels like a ridiculous question. So I'm going to go with Eddie, and that's going to be my answer. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm Amy. That's my file.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Last week, a couple guys are on their boat off the coast of Long Island, New York, when all of a sudden, boat starts to sink. Uh-oh, what are we going to do? They get on the phone with 911. Yo, our boat's going down. Boat's going down. Help. And the lady's like, where are you? And they're like, we're in the water. She goes, tell me where. They didn't know where, so they got the lady on FaceTime and showed her everything around them. And then the phone goes dead, but getting on FaceTime led rescuers right to where they were.
Crazy.
Boom.
She could see, I guess, trees and stuff, not just the water,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, trees, landmarks, whatever was around them, the horizon, wow. And they were able to pinpoint their location, and rescue boats arrived about 6 minutes later.
I'm surprised that could happen like that. That's a great story. Good job by her, whomever was on her team where they were able to go find those folks. That's a great one. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host Vico Ortiz and our abuelita Liliana Montenegro play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, Brett Eldridge will be on. I got a question I'm going to ask him that's going to be uncomfortable about something I feel like he's been hiding in his personal life. So we will get to that coming up in 15 minutes or so. First, let's go over to Amy and get in the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
What's made of leather and sounds like a sneeze?
What's made of leather and sounds like a sneeze?
A shoe.
Ush. That's good.
That was the Morning Corny.
That is good. If anyone's in town and they want to come to my show tonight, we have just put up 20 what they call hold tickets. They're good seats for tonight and tomorrow. You can go over to cmatheater.com if you want to get those seats. We just put them up. They will not last very long, but cmatheater.com. Looking forward to tonight's show and tomorrow night's show. I'm finally healthy, so... I'm finally very healthy, and I feel pretty funny. So let's go. Hey, showbiz, baby, right? That's showbiz, baby. Yeah.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Brett Eldridge.
Brett's got a new album out today called Songs About You. It's 12 tracks, and we will get to the music in just a second. But, Brett, I saw a picture of you, and you were sitting in a small auditorium with a lot of the people on your record label. And I guess it was Do What Brett Wants Day. And so they were all meditating with you. It looked like 30. It almost looked like a cult. I'll be honest with you, Brett. So what are we doing here? You get them in a room and you make them all meditate?
So I wanted to do a little meditation session with the band, or with the whole label, to celebrate the record. Everybody's had the CMA Fest. Now we have an album launch. So we got together, had a meditation session. Everybody got relaxed, listened to their heart, did some deep breathing, and we drank some juice and some smoothies, you know. So yeah, it was everybody enjoyed it. And I was just grateful for their help on all this craziness to launch a record, you know.
In all seriousness, can you tell me, if I were to meditate, because I know you try to do this is a practice to, so you can, I don't know, feel whole, or I don't know, marry the dirt. I don't know exactly why you do this, but like, what will it do for me if I'm able to just take 15, 20 minutes and meditate? Because I don't understand.
You can even do it for 10 minutes. Basically, the whole concept is, if you stand in the middle of the waterfall and you're getting caught by every single thought, every single thing you give too much weight to, then you get super anxious and very stressed. By meditating, you sit there, you breathe, and you kind of just watch those thoughts go by and stand behind the waterfall, and you can actually just breathe and let it be there. And the practice of that over and over really gets you to be able to, in the middle of a situation in the day, you can actually see that happening, and you can actually catch yourself thinking, being caught in thought, and that's what meditation kind of helps do.
And you're telling me I thought I needed to do it for like 8 hours or be like in some sort of sweat tent. You're telling me if I do this for 10 minutes a day, I will at some point start to feel a difference in my day-to-day life?
Absolutely. I tried everything through the years, and I can promise you that it'll help. Even if it's just 10%, it's a big difference.
Okay, here he is, Brett Eldridge. He's got a new, and I feel bad for him because he's got a record out this week, and I know it's a difficult week for him because he's up against my children's book, which came out Tuesday, and only one can win. Brett, only one can win. So it's,
I know, and it's
tough. It's like putting a movie out against Top Gun, you know? You know, it's just probably going to do that well, but I'm still going to ask you about it anyway. So you have 12 tracks on this record. How, because your last record to me was my favorite record you ever did. How is this record going to be different or better, or what's the new message with this record?
Well, if you love Sunday Drive, like you said, I think I doubled down on that sound, and I really took some more chances, even more. I've got horns and big band sounds in this, and I've really just stepped out with some confidence on this one. I think Sunday Drive gave me that belief I could go after it, and my fans really supported it in such a big way that I went and I made this record, and I think it's by far my best record, and I feel really good about it.
I'd also like to apologize in case you get a call late at night tonight. I had to have Abby call you from our phone in the studio because I'm at home right now doing this from the studio at home, and when we gave her your number to call you from the studio line, I'm not promising she didn't write it down and put it in her pocket. So if you get a random call, that could be what it is.
Hey, that's all right. I don't know if I'll answer because I almost didn't answer this time, but I figured maybe I'd try it. You know, here I am.
Abby, is there any chance you save that number? Be honest with us.
No, I will not do that. I promise.
Okay.
Fully professional over here.
Brett Eldridge is on with us. I have a couple more questions for you, but I want to play your new single now. So walk me into this song. Tell me about the song, you know, what it makes you feel, all that stuff, so the audience can feel it, and then we'll come back. But what are we going to do here, Brett?
Yeah, we're going to play Songs About You, which is really about that feeling of when you think you're over somebody and then you roll down the street or you're going to the grocery store or maybe you're going to pick up Bobby's new book at the store and they're playing this Songs About You over the speakers and you're like, oh, I thought I was over that person. And then all of a sudden, immediately you go right back to that person and every song's about you. And it's just a really feel-good song, also a heartbreak at the same time. I love songs that do that.
The Friday Morning Conversation with Brett Eldridge.
He's got a new record out today called Songs About You. It's 12 tracks. His last album was my absolute favorite. I'm going to start listening to this one today when the show is over. And he has told me that if it's not better than the last one, I get my money back. How do we feel about that, everybody?
Hey, you know what? I I feel that good about it. I mean, I don't think I'm able to make that statement, but I feel that confident that you'll like it better.
I also don't even know what money I'd get back because I like subscribe to a streaming service, so I don't expect you to pay me for the whole month. Maybe like a nickel. How about that?
Yeah, you have to take that up with that's a good point. You have to take it up with one of the streamers. But I'm telling you, you're gonna like it better. I promise.
Brett Eldridge is on, and something we haven't seen from you in a while is Edgar, your dog. Now, and I hope this is not a sore spot, but is Edgar still alive?
Yeah, he is very alive. He retired from the spotlight a few years ago, and I'm with him more than ever. But yeah, he's just chilling with me all the time.
Are people ever like, "Where's Edgar?"
All the time, because I used to bring him on stage and all that, and honestly, he didn't really love that. And you know, people would like reach for him on stage, and he kind of get scared. He was really good at it because he got a treat. But it just kind of got to the point where I'd be traveling to California or something, and people would be so mad if I didn't bring my dog. And it's like, I would have had to somehow figure out how to fly him here. And it just got to be too much. And I was like, I just want to have my dog. And so now I just go with him on hikes all the time and just there for me, which is cool.
We had a segment earlier in the show, and I just would like your professional opinion on this. So in studio last week, we had Gavin DeGraw. He came, he performed. It was amazing. He's great live. And, you know, in what happens here on the show, people have to give us their phone numbers because we have to set up the interview or set up whatever tech request they need, like a keyboard or instruments. And so Gavin comes in and performs and leaves. And over this past weekend, Eddie and Scuba Steve were in Memphis, and they saw a guy covering a Gavin DeGraw song. They don't have a relationship with Gavin DeGraw other than have his phone number. But they thought, since this guy was covering a Gavin DeGraw song, they should video it and send it to him in the middle of the night on Friday after they'd been drinking. Now, Brett, is that wildly inappropriate or not?
I mean, I'm usually asleep by then, so I wouldn't get it till the next day. If I had a good connection...
There's no good connection, Brett. No good connection. There's no connection. None. Yes, none.
I might not know how to respond. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love those guys, so I don't know. But I would, if you didn't know them, then maybe. I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, it'd be weird, and you'd have to reply like, "Oh, thanks, man," even though you're like, "Why are they texting me this? I don't even know these guys."
Yeah, well, I mean, depends how good the cover was, I guess.
Well, they said it was real good, so if that's the case, well, crap. There goes my...
There you go.
All right, listen, everybody. We're here because we're talking to Brett Eldridge. He's got songs about you. It's out today. It's 12 new songs. We're going to let him go in just a second. But Brett, as you're playing all these shows, I'm looking, you have a whole list of dates here as you're on this tour, this Songs About You tour. I see the theme here. It's a lot of songs about you. And so as you're playing this, what is your number one hit that you love to play the most in a set? Where you're like, you know what? As many times I've played it, I still want to play this song. I'm looking forward to it.
I love acoustic moments, so I love playing The Long Way acoustic. The band completely steps off the stage. You're in front of all these people. They've been hearing just the full band rock out, which is a lot of fun. But when I get to break it down just acoustic, it reminds me when I first moved to Nashville playing, you know, little songwriter bars and stuff and telling the stories. And so singing The Long Way is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, I'm going to play that now. And I want everybody to just imagine that they're watching Brett strip down. No, with his guitar. Just his guitar. Yeah, everybody real Abby. Abby got the fan out, started fanning herself like my grandma at church back in the day. All right. So everybody check out Songs About You. Brett, congratulations. I hate that it's going to finish second to a kid's book, but it is what it is. That's showbiz, baby, you know?
We'll still make it work.
All right, buddy. Hey.
I appreciate you guys, and we'll talk at you soon.
All right, congratulations. See you, buddy.
Bye,
you,
bye.
It is now time for what I consider the most important segment of the day. It's your big stories. Come on.
Bobby's Big Stories.
Japan is making online insults punishable by up to 1 year in jail.
Oh, my.
Being an online troll in Japan might come with a cost. Japanese parliament has just passed legislation that would make online insults punishable by up to 1 year in jail. There could also be a fine of $2,000 for anyone who's convicted of breaking the law. Now, I do think that this is probably extreme. However, I do think we should also have some sort of regulations on trolling as well. Here's my simple solution. You can't have an account unless it's verified you. That's it. And then we know what you're saying and who you're saying it to. And if you want to be a jerk, that's fine. But then we at least know it's you and it's not some troll that's creating accounts just to troll people. So I'll be putting that on my platform when I run for office. How we feel about that one, Guy?
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Elon, you can have that courtesy of me. Thank you. That's from Insider. A divorced man sues stepson for the money he spent raising him. Well, isn't that a fine howdy-do?
Huh.
Here you go. A man is suing his stepson after divorcing his mom, asking to be paid back for the money he spent raising the boy. The plaintiff took the stepson to court and asked the judge to force the boy to pay back a bunch of money, like $35,000 or so, because he said, that cost a lot to raise this kid, and we're not married anymore. That's from Oddity Central. So that is... that story does not make me feel warm on the inside, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, that's shallow.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Arkansas Keith gets an idea.
Wait a second.
He calls me later, goes, hey, man, all good, but seems too good not to do. Let's see. A 61-year-old grandmother of 17 wants to have a baby with her 24-year-old husband. Cheryl and Quaron are married in love, and they want to have children despite their age difference. The couple met when Quaron was working at a Dairy Queen owned by her son. They say they'd like to either have a baby through surrogate or adoption. That's wild. So Quaron is the 24-year-old. So Quaron was working at Dairy Queen. And so the grandma would drive through Dairy Queen.
Her son owns it. Yeah.
Yeah. But she would drive through Dairy Queen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's just like a side. That doesn't even matter as much.
Well, I mean, if I'm the owner and one of my employees starts dating my mom, I'm in full aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that, I don't know, that feels like that's the second headline. It's 61 and 24, and that he was 15 at the time. And she's like, will you hold it upside down?
Oh.
The blizzard?
Yeah. Hey, whatever you want it to be, Eddie. You said blizzard. Yeah, all right. Whatever you want it to be. Study says most people are thinking they're eating healthier than they really are. A new study says we are overestimating how healthy we're eating. In the study of nearly 10,000 people, only 15% accurately described how healthy their diet was. You know, one of the things, this is me talking now, not the article. One of the things that food's doing a bit better now is when they put, let's say, calories. They will now not do per serving because that would be misleading because you would go calories per serving 320. But then it's like in small letters, 4 servings in the bag. And so you think you're having 300 calories, if you count calories or not, but really you're having 1,200, so you were kind of misled to get to that place. But yes, we all are kind of not actually understanding what we're eating. I don't even understand some of the words going on some of the food. I'll be honest with you. What's Comaxcal? No idea. No, I have no idea. But I also don't know how radio works or TV works, so I'm just a dum-dum, and here I am. That's from Study Finds. There you go. A study warns that women who drink sugary drinks are 78% more likely to get liver cancer. That is heavy.
Yay.
A new study found that postmenopausal women who have at least one sugar-filled drink a day have a 78% higher risk of developing liver cancer.
Whoa. Wow.
The study, which was presented at the 2022 Nutrition Live online event, looked at a sample of over 90,000 women. That's quite the sample size, honestly, who drank sugary drinks and those who drank fewer than 3 a month. They did all the data. And according to data, 7% of participants reported drinking 1 or more 12-ounce servings had the 78% risk of developing cancer. So it was a very small group who had actually done that. But in that small group, most of them had developed that sort of cancer, which is crazy.
I mean, good. I'm only premenopausal right now, so we're good.
That's from the New York Post. And that sugar, man, I love it. Can't get enough of it, but it's awful. It's the worst. Ugh. A tourist has a $1 million watch stolen off his wrist in Barcelona. This is from the Daily Mail. The watch is called a Black Caviar Bang. It has hundreds of precision-cut black diamonds. It cost $1 million. So here's my question. If you were walking down the street with $500,000 in cash in a bag, do you think probably you'd have somebody with you making sure nobody would steal that bag of $500,000 in cash?
Yes.
Probably, right? $500,000 in cash in a bag.
Yeah.
You have double that on your wrist and nobody's chilling with you, making sure you don't get attacked. If you can afford that watch, you can afford some sort of security to just hang for a minute, you know? That's a terrible story. That $1 million watch, I would be scared to death to even wear that thing. A famed astronaut says UFOs filmed by the military more than 100 times could be aliens. This very famous astronaut has said that the U.S. military has footage over 100 times could very much be aliens. During an interview, which he talked about this over a long period of time, He says there are this certain little group of videos that they've just declassified quietly that he thinks that they're hiding things from us on what they know. So there you have somebody else who goes into space, who is a scientist, who is saying that that's just what he said. He said what he said. Anybody want to say anything about that?
No.
Hey, more and more are coming out.
He said what he said. Listen, if he's a scientist, he's an astronaut, he goes into space, he worked with the military, don't you think he knows more than you, Lunchbox, who just sits here and goes, "Arr"?
No. Like I think he wants to, he's some weirdo that thinks there's aliens on, so he wants to get in the news, he wants to be cool and be like, "Oh yeah, this, you know, spaceship we've seen him how many times is aliens." Shut up. It ain't aliens.
All right, and he goes, "Arr," so he knows more. There you go. That's from the New York Post. And finally in the news, a young man fell 35 feet off a balcony at a Harry Styles concert. Luckily, he's going to be okay. Just black eyes, concussion, and some bruises. But 35 feet is quite the fall. That's almost a four-story building.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
They didn't know the injuries right when he fell because it was so much that could be internal. They put him on a ventilator, but the scans came back, and he has no broken bones. So black eyes, concussion, and bruises, he's going to be released from the hospital.
Like
that is
cat.
A great, lucky story. That Harry Styles music will pull you through.
Yeah.
Been there. Was sick. Listen to Harry's House a lot. And here I am, baby. Here I am, good as new.
Those were Bobby's Big Stories.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Easy trivia, play along against the show here. Amy, the easy question you get, round number one. The category is children's television. In Sesame Street, who is obsessed with cookies?
The Cookie Monster.
Correct. Lunchbox, what article of clothing was Mr. Rogers famous for?
Sweater?
Correct. Cardigan, that's correct. Eddie, what kind of animal is Curious George?
Oh, he's a monkey.
Correct. Patrick stars from what cartoon, Morgan?
SpongeBob.
That is correct. See, it's all easy. And I hope if you're listening right now, you're playing against these guys, see how long you would last. If they miss it, they will hear this sound right here.
You've been boned.
You don't want to be boned. At least not right now. Too early. Now, Amy is wearing a tiara because she is the champion. But if she loses to Eddie today, Eddie gets the tiara back.
Bones, I've been staring at that thing all day. I want it now.
Let's go. Easy trivia, round number two. The category is country music. Amy, who rose to fame with their debut single, She's in Love with a Boy, in 1991?
That would be She's in Love with the Boy, Trisha Yearwood.
That is correct. Lunchbox, Natalie Maines is the lead singer of what country music group?
The Chicks.
Correct.
Nice.
Eddie, which singer, known as the First Lady of Country Music, is best known for the song Stand By Your Man?
That is Tammy Wynette.
Correct.
Wow.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Oh my goodness. That's impossible.
I thought that'd be a little easier, Eddie.
I didn't know she was known as the first woman of country music.
Morgan, which female country star wrote and recorded I Will Always Love You?
Wrote and recorded, that is Dolly Parton.
That's correct. Good job, everybody. You're still in. Nobody's been boned yet. Next category, the 90s. Amy, what James Cameron movie was the highest grossing film of the 90s?
What?
What James Cameron movie was the highest grossing film of the 90s?
James Cameron. Was that, I don't know, Steven Spielberg? Oh my gosh. Jurassic Park?
That's incorrect.
You've been booed.
Let's go.
I don't even, what?
Anybody want to help her?
Cameron.
Is that Avatar?
It's Titanic. So Titanic, 90s, 97, Avatar was the only one to beat it in like 2000s. Yeah.
I didn't even think about freaking, I was thinking.
Amy, you've been eliminated.
Oh my gosh.
Hate my life.
The window has opened.
Unless
Lunchbox.
Every single person misses.
Hanson's first single was released in 1997. And it shot straight to the top of the charts. What was that song called?
Mbop.
Correct.
I said that weird.
Okay. I don't know. How you want to say it?
Eddie.
Come on.
Who sang Mambo Number 5?
Lou Bega. I was almost going to say Vega, but it's Bega. Lou Bega.
Correct.
Yeah!
Morgan, the company Tye made what incredibly popular toys in the 90s?
Beanie Babies.
That's correct. Three, move on.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Lunchbox.
Yep.
The category is states.
Man, I hope we're talking about like states and not like states of matter.
Huh? U.S. states.
Thank you.
Area 51 is located in which U.S. state?
Heck.
Varmint.
Heck.
Why? I ought to.
Heck, that varmint. Come here.
Man. Man. Can we talk this out for a minute?
Like, I'll give you like 10 seconds. Go ahead.
In a minute.
There was a news story about how they were going to storm Area 51. But was that in Roswell, New Mexico, or is that in Nevada? I don't know where they were flying in. They were going to fly into somewhere and go. But I don't know what Roswell, New Mexico has to do with aliens. I'm going with Nevada.
He says Nevada. The answer is Nevada. That's right.
Yes! 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 Yes!
That's pretty good, dude.
Good job. Good job.
Eddie.
Come on.
Do you love rock and roll music?
I love rock and roll music.
What state is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Man, Ohio came to my mind first, but that might be football. Cleveland, Ohio. You know what? They're both in Ohio. Give me Ohio for the win.
You're correct.
Woo! It's not for the win.
Well, to survive.
So yeah. Football's Canton, Ohio.
That's
and
correct.
Is rock and roll Cleveland.
Well, what's in Detroit?
The Rock City.
Kiss. Kid Rock. Eminem.
Cars.
8 Mile.
Oh, okay. The
Lions, Barry Sanders.
Okay, sorry.
Tigers.
I thought that's where the Hall of Fame was, but never mind.
Mm-hmm. Morgan, what state has a bear on their flag?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I only know the Kansas flag. Gosh.
Any chance it's Kansas?
No, it's not. Kansas is a sunflower. I do know that. Wheat fields. Oh, freaking bear.
Five seconds, Morgan.
Tennessee.
Wait,
you live here. You should have seen the flag of...
Here. I haven't. I have never seen the Tennessee flag before.
Really?
Well, you've been boned. Here, bone her up.
You've been boned.
Anybody want to help her?
California.
Yeah, yep. California.
Never seen that flag in my life.
You've probably seen that on a t-shirt and you didn't realize because they're very popular. And like a hat, the bear's real cute.
Well, we're down to two. It's Lunchbox and Eddie.
Oh my gosh,
hey,
I smell
Eddie,
victory.
You let me wear that hat, that crown once a week?
Let's go, Lunchbox.
I smell victory bones.
Okay, here we go, you two. You'll get two questions each. The category is now, oddly, animals. Lunchbox, what bird is considered to be the largest bird in the world? Heck, Big Bird.
That's a good guess.
Heck.
Heck. And I'll talk this out.
Biggest bird in the world?
Heck. Middle finger when somebody cuts me off. Heck.
That's funny, Bones.
It's not a good bird. Dang.
You're taking away all of his answers, Bones.
Oh, sorry.
The biggest one. What the heck? An eagle.
Eagle is your answer. That is incorrect.
Oh my You've gosh. Been booed.
Oh my gosh, come on,
Why did this just
come
happen
on,
to
I thought
me?
I thought he was going to say Big Bird, honestly.
Freaking ostrich.
It's a freaking ostrich, as Amy would say.
I really needed Lunchbox to get
it. I've never seen an ostrich.
Yeah, you did, Amy.
Hey, I saw a bald eagle just the other day. I got a video.
Okay.
Cool story.
That was pretty cool.
All right, next
ostriches
up. Eddie, for the win.
Guys, quiet.
Which animal is considered the largest land mammal in the world?
I feel like I've missed this before.
For the win and the tiara.
Can you repeat the question?
Which animal is the largest land mammal in the world?
Guys, no doubt. It has to be an elephant. What's larger than an elephant?
Largest
Nothing.
Land mammal in the world.
They're on the land. It's a land mammal. So but land, that's it. It's not whale because that would be a water mammal. Give me elephant for the win and that tiara off of Amy's head. Let's go, Bones.
The answer is
elephant.
Elephant.
Oh! Yeah! Yeah! Amy, give me that thing right now. Give it to me. Woo! Yes!
Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you, Bones. Bones, this tiara is finally coming home.
Wow.
Woo. That was so dumb.
Hey, I knew, honestly, I knew when everyone got out and it was just me and Lunchbox, that was it.
Yeah.
Won
I ran
before.
You know, last week I got out, it was me and you.
I know.
Eddie goes, well, I won this one, or, like right in the middle of the game. That's some confidence.
And now Oh, now
an ostrich? I don't even understand.
She's still on it.
I can picture James Cameron working on it.
By the way, for everybody wondering, Amy videoed an eagle last week. You can watch that in her newest vlog. All right, there you go.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Dearborn, Michigan. There were three guys in cars out in front of the police station when all of a sudden police hear, "Room! Room!" And they look out the window, and the guys are doing burnouts right there in the street in front of the police station. So police looked on the camera, wrote down the license plate, tracked them down, arrested all three of them.
Is it illegal to just do a burnout?
I guess it is. I mean, they charged them with, I don't know what they charged them with, but they confiscated their cars, reckless driving. What?
Oh, guys.
There must have been something else going on, too. Yes, Amy.
Well, I did a, I was meeting up with my friend.
You did a burnout?
So I didn't do a burnout, but I did like a donut or something.
Yeah!
Or a
you didn't do a donut by accident.
It wasn't by accident.
You probably fishtailed a little bit.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to call it, but she was in her office parking lot, and when I pulled up, it was empty, and she was waiting for me, so I pulled up to kind of surprise her, and I saw her, and I thought, I don't know, something in me just got real excited,
yes!
And I did a big, like, circle in the parking
Stop
lot.
Stop it.
Like, as fast as I could.
Oh, you did do a donut. A whole circle?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I don't know.
That is awesome.
I don't know. I just did it last night. I don't know.
Oh, I mean, how great.
I'm worried.
One of the coolest things is to do a peel out when there's a big group of people and you take
That's
off.
That's not one of the coolest things.
I mean,
That's
the burnout's not. Cooler because the smoke comes up and it's like, wow.
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, I didn't know there was a difference, Lunchbox. You just taught me something.
Yeah, a burnout is when the smoke comes up from the tires.
So you got to hold a burnout longer.
Yeah. Oh, you got to hold it longer and it does a lot of damage to your car, I think.
Yeah.
But it still looks cool.
It's worth it.
Will your car still peel out?
Absolutely, it'll peel out. Are you kidding me?
Do you ever
me?
Do it?
Man, you want? I'll get you some audio. I'll go, and people are like, oh, man, that car's fast.
He does it.
How long can you peel? Okay. How long could you peel out lengthwise, like time-wise?
I don't know. I could probably go, 10 seconds.
Okay. No way.
There's no way.
There's no chance.
Okay, I tell you what. If you could do 10 seconds, I give you $100.
All right. That's a deal. I'll try it.
Dude, that could be the end of the Nissan.
Not just that. There could be an explosion.
Yeah.
So this is what we'll do. Next week, we'll see if you can do a 10-second peel/burnout. If so, I'll give you $100.
I love it. I can't wait.
I tell you what. I'll give you $100 at 7 seconds.
Okay.
I'm giving you more money for no reason. I don't have to do this. And I'll give you $20 each additional second. This is like calling Miss Cleo.
I don't know what that means, but I'll take it.
$2.99 first minute, 99 cents every minute after that. There you go.
Got it.
All right. Okay, think about that. And that's your bonehead. Is that it, Lunchbox?
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us. I'll be doing a show tonight in Nashville and a show tomorrow in Nashville. We put out 20 more hold tickets for each show if you guys want to grab them up. They were just put out yesterday evening, but pretty excited. It's going to be part comedy show, going to be part motivational talk, going to be a whole segment of when I talk about stories I've never actually told the full story before. So pretty excited about it. Never done the show before. We'll see how it goes. But that's kind of my weekend is doing those shows. I'm back healthy again. I feel good. So that's what's up. I had to cancel my therapist appointment this weekend or this week because I was sick and I hate doing that. So other than that, I'm good. I'm bouncing back. Eddie, which by the way, I should bring this up. You've been using BetterHelp, speaking of therapy, right?
I have, yeah. I've done one session, and I just booked my next for next week.
Eddie came on the post show, man, a few weeks ago, and I was like, I just feel sad. And I was like, say no more, because BetterHelp, it's awesome. It's online therapy. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and we've sent so many listeners. I have friends that use it, too. But you can actually go to BetterHelp.com/bones. That's BetterHelp.com/bones. So, Eddie, you just did it on your phone, though, right?
Yeah, so it's easy because, you can do video calls and that's your session. So if I'm in the car, I can just put it up on my car while I drive. I talk to my therapist.
Wait, don't do it while you drive.
Yeah.
Don't do it while you drive.
I'm not looking at him.
Don't do it while you drive. No. Don't do it while you drive.
So do I just pull over?
Yes.
Because that's the cool thing about the app.
No, the cool thing is you can do it from your couch, not while you're in rush hour traffic.
Okay. All right. Well, that was session one. I'll park the car in session two.
Because you can't focus. Oh, my goodness. This is why you're not better, Eddie.
It's really cool, though. Like, yeah, my therapist is really cool. And what's awesome, too, is not just video calls. Throughout the week, if I have a question, I can just message him on the app, and he answers right back. It's really awesome.
Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/bones. That's BetterHelp.com/bones. All right, that's it for us. Have a great, great weekend. We'll see you Monday. It'll be awesome. Monday show will be awesome. I'll be 100%. I'm 99 right now. I'll be 100%. You guys have a good weekend. Bye, everybody.
Come on, Bobby Bones Show.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.